This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Governor Deval Patrick is calling the latest Massachusetts MCAS test scores a big step forward. The just-released scores show that the percentage of 10th graders who scored proficient or higher has increased to 78% in English and 75% in math. That's nearly double the scores of the students who first took the tests in 2001. The MCAS results also show that the achievement gap between minority and white students has narrowed, but those gains have been modest, according to Secretary of Education Paul Revel.
There are still gaps between our highest performing students and various subgroups, whether it's English language learners, students with disabilities, Latinos, African Americans. So we're concerned about it. We're pleased that we've made some progress, but there's a long way to go to get where we set out to be, which is all students and all means all at a high level.
The MCAS scores in science and technology also rose by 4% for 10th grade students. Today's MCAS announcement was held at the Beachmont Elementary School in Revere, where Governor Patrick praised teachers across the state.
Quality teaching here in this school and elsewhere in the Commonwealth is helping to lift the performance and the futures of young people here and just like them all around the Commonwealth.
Teachers and students are beginning to fill classrooms all around the Commonwealth. Tomorrow is the first day of the new school year for students in Boston Public Schools. And at some of the city's lowest performing schools, an important experiment gets underway this year. State officials have given school districts unprecedented authority to overhaul troubled schools by starting fresh with different faculties and different administrators. The students will largely be the same, but the new teachers and new principals are meant to inject new energy and ideas. WBUR's Bianca Vasquez-Tonas reports on those efforts at one elementary school in Boston's South End.
When officials told all of the teachers at Blackstone Elementary School they had to reapply for their jobs last spring, some teachers didn't bother and transferred to other city schools. But the ones who did want to stay had to sit down with the incoming principal.
I asked the staff to talk a little bit about why the school was stuck.
The school wasn't just stuck. It was stuck at the bottom, says Steve Zreich. Blackstone Elementary has had some of the worst test scores in the state for 5 years in a row. And students there missed a lot of school, on average 2 weeks a year. He brought these problems up in interviews with teachers.
And I was looking for people to really talk about things that the school or themselves could do differently to accelerate learning for kids. Some people were able to express that, and some people, unfortunately, I felt were blaming families and were blaming students.
Nearly all of the students, 92% of kids at the Blackstone, are considered low income, and two-thirds started off speaking a language other than English. Zreich points out that other public schools have successfully educated students with the same profile.
I need a team of people who really believe at their core that the work can be done and are committed to doing everything they can and we can as a school to make that happen and not to put blame on families who I really believe are doing the very best they can for their children.
Steve Zreich looks more like a soccer dad than a principal. In fact, he comes to this job after a year of coaching teachers in Boston. He's laid back, young, and energetic. He used that energy to replace 4 out of 5 teachers at the Blackstone, 4 out of 5. He brought them from as far away as California and Florida. Zreich loves that he could build his own team, but he says parents have expressed concern about not knowing anyone at the school anymore. So over the last few weeks, he's been sending teachers out to the neighborhoods to introduce themselves. Lisa Gonzalez is holding a fat binder and several reading books. She's standing outside the third-floor apartment of a triple-decker in Dorchester.
Hello.
Gonzalez has been teaching for 6 years. She started in Framingham and Natick, but last year she moved to Boston, wanting the challenge of an urban school. And when she heard about the plan to turn around the Blackstone, she signed up.
And is this Jason?
Yes.
Jason.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. I'll be your first grade teacher. Can I see those beautiful eyes? No? I'm interrupting your TV show, huh? Yes.
She asks questions about what Dayson likes and doesn't like about school and learns from his mom, Antonia, that she's worried about his behavior.
Other than that, I don't have a problem with him. He's good. He does his homework. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a complaint with the other teachers. Right, boo-boo? Yeah, he's a good boy.
Is there something that you'd really like to see him gain or learn this year in school?
More reading, more writing.
Then comes Gonsalves' favorite part.
So it says here that Jason's going to come to the Blackstone at 8:20 every day, prepared, ready for school, with what he needs. You think he can do that?
It's a contract between 6-year-old Jason and the school. He looks intimidated, but signs anyway.
Get my name.
Good question.
His parents and his teacher sign their own contracts. Jason's parents, Antonia Gonsalves and Jose Bemazides, say this visit was a great idea.
Because we get to know who he's going to be with, and she share a lot with us. I think it's a great idea.
Teacher Lisa Gonsalves and her principal hope these interactions with parents will improve attendance rates and get parents more involved in their kids' education. But even if they don't, the Blackstone will have its own monitoring system. And this is the most crucial part of turning around the school, say school leaders. If a student starts to struggle, the school will step in with more tutoring and specialized help. And teachers will tailor their instruction to meet individual students' needs. This hyper-vigilant approach will mean more work and coordination among teachers. Gonsalves admits that it's daunting.
The first thing that comes to my mind is that I, or that my colleagues, will work really hard and not see results, not only in our individual classrooms, but collectively as a school. That is my biggest fear.
If teachers don't show progress at the end of the first year, they can be moved to another school without the usual union protections. There's a lot at stake, says Principal Steve Zreich.
This is a last-ditch effort to affirm and build the confidence of the community that we as a public school system can do this work on behalf of our student population. And if we're not able to do it, then that sends a message that maybe it's time for others to do the work.
The state has given the Blackstone and the other 34 so-called turnaround schools in Massachusetts 3 years to improve. They'll get grants to do this, and they have to show gains each year to continue getting money. A spokeswoman for the State Department of Education says there's no plan for what happens if this doesn't work. Because, well, they just expect it to.
That story by WBUR's Bianca Vasquez-Tones. And joining me now from his office at the Blackstone Elementary School is the new principal, Steve Zreich, whom we just heard in Bianca's story. Welcome to Radio Boston, Steve.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let's talk first about the dramatic way that Blackstone has been transformed. Not only are you a new principal there, but 4 out of 5 teachers at the school have been replaced. And some of those new teachers, I believe, come from as far away as California. I think that that kind of change must have caused some concern for parents.
Absolutely. I mean, parents felt very attached to some of the teachers who were here, and it's only natural that parents build relationships with teachers who have taught their kids and their families for many years. So we've really worked hard in our efforts this summer and into the early parts of the fall to make sure that we were being proactive in connecting our teachers with our families through home visits, like you heard in the piece, as well as we had a welcome session in East Boston for families, which a lot of the teachers attended. 25% of our students come from East Boston. And then we had a real celebration, a welcome back celebration, a large one here at the school last week. And we had, you know, a close to 100 families show up for that. And many, if not all of our teachers were there for that celebration as well.
So it sounds like you're really trying to recreate that family feel that schools often have and that Blackstone might have lost by sweeping about 80% of its teachers.
Right, exactly. No, it's a very important piece. We have to build the faith and the trust of the families. I've asked families when I've gone out to speak with them, and when I first was appointed principal in the spring, to not be afraid to take a leap of faith with us. They have to trust us. They have to trust the direction. And the proof is really in the results. And I asked them to hold us accountable for what we've promised to do and a lot of the changes that we've laid out to families, that they need to hold me and the rest of my team accountable for what we say we're going to do.
As you surely know, Steve, Massachusetts has very strong teachers unions that can make it difficult to fire teachers.
Right.
Tell us how you were able to get around union rules and do such a wholesale revamp of your staff.
Well, it's part of the autonomy that, as a level four school, as the piece indicated, we with that came a great deal of flexibility, and was a very attractive piece to coming into a school to be able to choose a team of people who were like-minded in their approach in building relationships with families, who were reflective about their instructional practice, and were really interested in doing anything that we possibly could on behalf of students. We had to be sure that what we did was every decision was made with kids at the center. And so, you know, the luxuries that were provided to us by being a level four school, I think, is the right kind of impetus for us to make change at the school.
In her story, BUR's Bianca Vasquez-Tonas followed a new teacher, Lisa Gonzalez, as she went to visit with a student's family before the start of the school year. How many students at the Blackstone are getting those kinds of home visits?
Well, we asked our teachers to do 6 home visits each, and that amounts to close to that's over 200 families that will be visited by our teachers before the start of the school year. In addition, we are asking all teachers to make calls to their families so that every student that we possibly can get a hold of that we have the right number for and the right information is getting a chance to reach out in some way or to connect with their teacher in some way. But at the minimum, about 200 families are being reached out through a home visit.
And will there be follow-up visits during the school year, or are these just all preschool year?
No, I mean, there certainly will be. It's part of the mindset that we're trying to instill among the staff here that I talk a lot about taking the show on the road. It is very hard for our families to always get to the school. And with so many families living in East Boston, we have to be more accessible to families when they don't have cars necessarily to get them to school. It's very hard with public transportation to get sometimes to the school. So, you know, whether that means actually going to their home or actually having events in the community is something that we've pledged to families throughout the year. And they've been really responsive to the efforts we've made already to get out, you know, not only to the homes with teachers, but the event we had in East Boston. I've had an opportunity with my parent coordinator to go speak to families in East Boston. We've been to some of the local neighborhoods where our families live to field questions and to listen to parent concerns. So I think the onus is on us, not just now, but throughout the year, to really do well on our promise to get out.
And Steve, are teachers paid extra for those kind of visits?
No, it's we built in some time as part of one of the flexibilities we have is additional professional development time. So we counted some of the time in these hours the teachers are working towards home visits and family communication. It's a part of it, but many teachers went well beyond what we asked, you know, the time commitment we asked for home visits.
Boston School Superintendent Carol Johnson spoke this morning with WBUR, and during that interview, she outlined the goalposts that she set for schools like the Blackstone.
We would be looking for significant results. In our original plans, we said we would like to see a 10-point increase because we have had schools make a 10-point increase in the number of students who are at passing or proficiency levels. We've set ambitious goals for the entire district, particularly around first grade and third grade.
Are those your goals too, Steve, to create a 10-point improvement in those proficiency, in the amount of students found proficient in those state standardized tests?
Absolutely. I mean, I think what we've been asked to do is fair and reasonable given where the schools are starting from, the baseline that schools are starting from. And I think not only in terms of MCAS data, I think we should also have high expectations for other indicators such as parent satisfaction, student climate indicators as well. So MCAS is one component, which I think is very fair what the superintendent laid out in her interview. But in addition, there's other indicators which I think define what a great school is all about.
And Steve, as a last question, in Bianca's story today, the teacher, Lisa Gonzalez, mm-hmm. says her greatest fear is that you won't see any results. What do you do if that happens?
Well, I don't like to think that way. I mean, I think we all believe that we're going to see improvements. I have no doubt that we have the team of people here to affect change and make change. So I'm very confident that you know, we have not at all entertained the conversation. What if we don't reach our goal? I think we will, and I know I have the right team of educators here to make make change happen for our students.
I hope we can talk later in the school year and see if that the change you want to see happen is happening.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Steve Zreich is the new principal of the Blackstone Elementary School in Boston South End. Steve, thanks for coming on Radio Boston.
No problem.
Classes for all Boston Public School students start tomorrow. Coming up after a quick break, Alan Casey. He co-founded CityEar, he helped save AmeriCorps, he ran for U.S. Senate, and as of this month, he's published a book. So now what? We'll find out right after this break. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.